I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today on the Inland Journal podcast, a conversation about outdoor burning in the inland Northwest. This discussion was spawned by the podcast interview we did a couple of weeks back with Grant Pfeiffer. He had just retired as head of the Washington Department of Ecology's Spokane office. For years, Pfeiffer was one of the overseers of field burning in eastern Washington. That was back in the day when grass farming was an important industry in Spokane and Kootenai counties. Longtime residents will remember the occasional days when waves of smoke from the burning of grass and wheat fields would wash over the populated area. You must realize smoke gets in your eyes. People with sensitive lungs would get sick and call the local air quality regulators to complain. The grass industry is largely gone from the Rathdrum Prairie, and there's much less burning done in the Spokane Coeur d'Alene area. But farming and burning do continue in other parts of the region, and in fact, at a time when we still have snow on the ground, some farmers in southern Idaho are already making plans to torch their fields. Our talk with Grant Pfeiffer got me wondering about the current state of field burning in this region. So I called Mark Boyle, who runs the state of Idaho's smoke management program, from the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality Office in Coeur d'Alene. What are the agricultural crops that are burned in Idaho?
Oh, the same as all over the place. Wheat, stubble, oats. We still have Kentucky bluegrass that's being burned in Idaho. Some places down in the southern parts, we have some corn stalk residue as well. So it varies quite a bit.
And what's the process by which a farmer would apply to burn his fields?
Well, they come knocking on our door to start with. We have a pretty in-depth application that growers can access online, or they can call us and we can walk them through it ourselves. But first off is we get a lot of information from them, how to contact them, where they're at, and then obviously we need to know which fields they plan on burning, how big they are, what the residue in those fields is going to be, and kind of take it from there.
Do most farmers burn right around the same time of the year, mostly in the summer?
Yes, we have about 85 to 90% of our burning for our agricultural program occurs maybe the end of July through mid-October. The other 10% is, you know, it's going to start kicking in to gear here pretty soon, right now.
Right now?
Yeah, springtime. Up here in the Panhandle, obviously, it's a little bit different story. We maybe have a little bit of white stuff on the ground in most areas, so we probably won't see much burning anytime soon up here. But in southern Idaho, it's about ready to go. We've got some takers who are just about ready to go this week or next week. So, now, with prescribed fire, it's a little bit of the same story, where you can get to places to burn some slash, and that's starting to occur right now. Obviously, you get further higher up in the mountains, nobody can get to those spots yet because of the snowpack.
And I guess this time of the year is perfect for doing that kind of stuff. Although, if you're worried about smoke, you've got a lot of wet stuff out there right now still due to snow and rain.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a tough balance. This time of year, we usually have some really good weather and atmospheric conditions that support good smoke management. But there's a trade-off of not only fuels being still pretty wet, but also depending upon the burn, and I'm speaking prescribed fire now, depending on burn type, there's a little bit of a hesitancy to burn prescribed fire in the spring because, things are just going to get drier and drier, and if your burn didn't get completely extinguished or out, then you may have some flare-ups later on in the year, So there's some fire safety things to think about during the springtime burns.
So I want to be clear about what do the farmers, or in this case, I guess, landowners, what do they have to prove to you to make sure that things are safe to burn?
We are looking primarily and almost exclusively about what is that smoke going to do. So the safety factor that we're looking into is where is the smoke going to go and how is it going to disperse and if it's going to disperse. The fire safety side of things comes under the purview of our Idaho Department of Lands and maybe a local fire protection district.
With field burning back in the up here in our neck of the woods, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, there were the issues about the smoke moving into populated areas. Are you running into that more and more statewide as well?
I think the concern is always going to be there. That is the mainstay of the decision making, is where is that smoke going to go? And if with using weather models and on the ground observations, if we feel that smoke is going to impact a community, then the decision is made to not ignite that field.
Ed Honadell, the weather forecaster up here, he'd make some decision in the morning and then he'd call you guys or something like that. How does the process work in terms of when can we burn today or can we burn today?
I kind of came into DEQ back in the mid-90s, and I remember Ed and his decision-making process. You know, it has evolved quite a bit from there. After Ed left, I think the North Idaho Farmers Association, I believe it was, they ended up hiring a meteorologist out of Seattle for a little while. When DEQ got the program, we employed the same meteorologist, and he would give us some decisions or, you know, some forecasts about weather conditions, and we'd base a decision on his recommendations and our own field observations. Since 2000 and, oh, I think it's 2010, DEQ has hired our own in-house meteorologist. So we have a staff member on board every day who's doing the same thing, is looking at weather models, predicting atmospheric conditions, and giving us a recommendation for burn or not burn. After we get that information, my staff takes that and reviews what fields are wanting to burn, which growers are ready to burn, you know, who's active out there, and what that weather looks like, and makes the decision in the morning. And then we contact the growers and let them know if they're approved for the day. We issue them an immediate permit, and then they're able to burn.
So how do you communicate with these guys anymore? I assume it used to be done by telephone. Do you text them now?
Well, you know, sometimes texting works really well. Some folks respond quickly to those. Other ones, it's, you still use the phone. Anybody who wants to burn in Idaho, when they do the registration, they've got to supply some sort of a phone or a radio contact so that during the day we can contact them to number one, tell them that they're approved to burn, and number two, to be able to contact them immediately to say, I'm not allowing you to burn anymore if weather conditions change or something goes wrong. So they have to be available for quick call.
We're talking about field burning with Mark Boyle from the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality in Coeur d'Alene. So in the years gone by, there was an awful lot of grass growing up here in Kootenai County, up in Spokane County, that sort of thing. How do the acreage levels compare to, let's say, a generation ago?
Well, right now on the Rathdrum Prairie here in Kootenai County, on the state side of things, we have no Kentucky bluegrass acres
none.
Being burned at all. Yeah, none. Every once in a while, we'll have 100 acres or a couple hundred acres of wheat stubble if somebody's having some weed infestation problem or something. But very little burning going on the Rathdrum Prairie at all anymore.
So where in the state of Idaho is most of the burning done now?
Well, we have maintained pretty consistent levels throughout the last decade or so in Boundary County. They're still burning, not Kentucky bluegrass, but now we're talking wheat stubble and other cereal grains. So they're still burning up there. And then as we move south into Latah County and down through Idaho County, that's a pretty consistent area that burns 20,000 to 30,000 acres of cereal grain or Kentucky bluegrass each year.
Certainly, with the bluegrass issue, you know, Spokane, when it blew into the Spokane, you heard about it. Where are the areas that you hear most often complain about smoke right now in Idaho?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. I think I'll tell you where we hear the most complaints is from Creston, Canada. And that is often because they see a plume going up in the air. Not that we're seeing impacts in Creston, but they're watching the activity, and they want to share that they're not appreciative of any burning activity in the state.
So how is burning, is it becoming a tool that's used more often or less often, or just more or less the same?
Well, I've got numbers going back to 2008 when the Department of Environmental Quality first took over this program, and the levels are very consistent all the way through. We're running between 40,000 acres a year throughout the state. We did have 1 year in 2012, which was 60,000, but for the last 10 years, 11 years, been very consistent numbers.
Is especially with the use of, with the focus on forest health these days and prescribed burns, do you anticipate seeing more of that in the state of Idaho, especially as Idaho exercises the good neighbor authority with between the state and the Forest Service?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We have heard from some specific forests that intend to increase their burning 30% this year alone. And I know pretty much all, at least the national forests, they're all gearing up to increase the scale and pace of prescribed fire. So we will see more smoke, and we'll see more opportunities to need to coordinate those type decisions as well.
And correspondingly, do you expect to hear more from the public as a result of that?
You know, we might. It's interesting that you asked that question, because the state of Idaho is starting a rulemaking effort for a smoke management program for prescribed fire specifically. Our rules require that you have if you're going to burn for prescribed fire, you have to have a smoke management plan in place. Several of the large, like the federal government, land management agencies, Idaho Department of Lands, and several large independent contractors, they participate in a smoke management program that DEQ is involved with right now. But there's several smaller groups of independent forest owners who, don't participate in a smoke management program yet. And we're just trying to help level the playing field, help avoid some of those smoke impacts that have been occurring from, prescribed fire without smoke management considerations.
That's Mark Boyle, who directs the Smoke Management Program for Idaho's Department of Environmental Quality. He's in Coeur d'Alene. That's another week in the books for the Inland Journal podcast. To find and subscribe to the program, search for Inland Journal in iTunes, on NPR One, or on Google Play, or find it on the Inland Journal page at SpokanePublicRadio.org. And tell us what you think of the program. Send your comments to InlandJournal@kpbx.org, or call our listener comment line 509-232-6904. You can send us ideas too. Thank you for listening. I'm Doug Nadvornik.